track 17. So, as usual, we finish with Mike Liggins, and this month the TV star pays a local museum a visit and reveals why he thinks our small museums are more important than ever.
It is a little piece of Norfolk that will always share a close bond with America. Today, the seething Control Tower Museum sits beside a narrow country road. It is box-shaped, painted green, and has what looks like a small greenhouse perched on its flat roof. The control tower isn't pretty, that's for sure. At this time of year, birdsong fills the air. The occasional car passes and light aircraft drift in and out of seething airfield. It's quiet. But between 1943 and 1945, this was a place of noise and colour. Seething was home to the 448th Bomb Group, whose giant B-24 Liberators flew daylight bombing raids over Germany. It was one of over 100 Second World War airfields built across East Anglia. 499 young Americans from the 448th, the majority flying from Seething, lost their lives. That is a sentence easily written all these decades later, but stop for a moment and consider what those losses meant for friends and family back in the United States. Telegrams arriving at houses across the country with the worst possible news. John D. Masters, known as Dudley, was one of the men who died. A co-pilot, he was flying over Berlin on June the 21st, 1944, when his Liberator was struck by heavy flak. Four crew members were killed instantly. The others managed to bail out. Dudley survived the immediate attack but died from his injuries 2 weeks later. He was just 25. For many years, Dudley's family didn't know what had become of his remains. It wasn't until 1954 that his body was traced and eventually buried back home in Texas. Last year, his relatives, Yancey Wood and Rob Young, travelled to Norfolk to visit Seething and pay tribute not only to Dudley, but to all the young men who never returned home. It was what they called the trip of a lifetime. I've been thinking recently about that famous phrase, lest we forget. Three small words that risk losing their weight as the years pass. Not for everyone, perhaps, but as living memory fades, I believe places like the Seething Control Tower Museum matter more than ever. The tower stood derelict until the 1980s when the local flying club, volunteers, including several from Seething Village, and former service personnel came together to create a memorial to those who died. Today it is run by a dedicated group of around 11 volunteers. It's a friendly group, says chairman and curator Andy Wells. People give their time in different ways, he says. Maintenance work, helping out on open days. One committee member is a master builder who handles the more complex jobs. It's a good mix. So, are we starting to forget? Andy is more optimistic than I am. It's not blind optimism, he says. We see lots of families and younger visitors on open days. They're interested in the stories. We do need younger volunteers, that's true, but we're not taking our eye off the ball. The museum opens on the first Sunday of each month, May to October. Entry and parking are free. Donations are welcome. There are refreshments and some excellent homemade cakes. It isn't grand or glossy, but it doesn't need to be. Inside are photographs, medals, uniforms, maps and fragments of aircraft that never made it home. In a small room, a book bearing the names of the dead rests beneath a Stars and Stripes flag. Light filters through a stained glass window, dedicated to Captain Jack O'Brien, who survived the war and lived to be 83. It's tempting to think that he was one of the lucky ones. After all, he made it, and Dudley Masters didn't. But was Jack O'Brien really lucky? I'm not so sure. We can't hope to fully understand what those young men endured, but that doesn't mean to say we shouldn't try. Museums like Seething Control Tower are dotted all over Norfolk, and it's about time we paid them a visit, don't you think?
Thank you, Mike. So that brings us to the end of this month's Chatterbox Norfolk Magazine, and I hope you've enjoyed listening. Thanks go to contributors Nick Aitchison, Oscar Lawrence, Katie Pearson, Yolanda Rocklin, Lindsay Furby and Chris Armstrong, to columnists Nina Nana and Mike Liggins, and to editor Emma Lee, along with our readers John Francis, Kevin Ford, Caroline Aldrey, Julie Benfield, and our sound recordist Catherine Rose. For now, until next time, it's goodbye from me, Sally Abbott.